يقولون سلام سلام ولا هنا سلام.
You're listening to Middle East Analysis, a podcast series taking a close look at the Middle East, North Africa region.
Well, this might seem something of an impromptu podcast, but I am delighted to say I'm joined by Dr. Harry Hagopian. Who's Harry? Well, you should know, but he's our consultant on the Middle East, North Africa region, amongst many other things. Harry, how are you?
I'm fine. As you can see, James, I'm a little bit sleepy, a little bit tired. I've just come out of a meeting. In fact, you actually dragged me out of a meeting. Thank you for that. And
giving away the secrets.
And I am waiting to see what MENA topic you're going to focus on in this conversation of ours.
Well, it is the day after a vote on a motion in the House of Commons.
Indeed.
About the right of the Palestinians to have their own state. So what's your response off the back of that vote?
You know, there was a lot of doubt whether this motion would be voted through in the House. Many, many people were very doubtful, thinking that it would not happen. I think the moment when things changed was when the Labour Party leadership endorsed the motion. And then after that, the question was how many people would be in the House and vote for it. And I was quite amazed to see that the final result was 274 votes in favor of recognizing a Palestinian state versus only 12 against the motion. So in terms of the mechanics of that motion, it was a success.
Now, you know what? It's funny. In the intro there, you said that it was sort of in the balance. I was convinced it would go through handsomely.
No, I wasn't convinced it would go handsomely. In fact, those people who were supporting the motion were very worried that it mightn't actually squeeze through. And they thought that those lobbying against the motion would actually succeed in stopping it dead in its tracks. But that didn't happen, which I think is an indication of how the House is becoming mature before the government and is realizing that it needs to do something effective and dramatic enough in order to get Palestinians and Israelis talking again about a way of moving forward with this inertia that has set in now for many years.
But, you know, I'm going to echo a question I asked you when it was before the United Nations as to whether they would recognize Palestine as a state.
I can't remember my answer, but my guess is I would have told you, yes, they would recognize Palestine.
You did, but I think I asked you, well, what does that actually mean? Is it not just symbolism?
Well, that was symbolism of over 130 countries supporting Palestine as a virtual state. I call it a virtual state. I call it a state on paper. I call it a state without sovereignty, without viability, without contiguity, and with really precious little except a reality that exists somewhere between the political and legal worlds. But the difference between that and this is quite big. That was a worldwide attempt to try and bring support to the Palestinian cause. This one is really to send a message to Her Majesty's government, the British government, that it is time it, as a leading member within the European Union, and last time I checked, we are still part of the European Union, that it should actually lead. Unless we in the European Union move forward, things are not going to move forward on purely American dynamics. And it is time for the European Union, which until now have been the bankers as far as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is concerned, to start pulling their weight. It is time for the tail to wag the dog. Sweden has already expressed their readiness to recognize Palestine. If more EU countries do that, then inevitably it will lead to a momentum that could actually move things forward. Because if things do not move forward, they're not going to remain static. They're going to go backwards.
But then, you know, the British, one would have to say, have dipped their feet into the murky waters of Palestine and latterly Israel-Palestine from back in the 40s, haven't they, with the Palestinian Mandate?
Listen, if anybody should recognize the Palestinian state, at least on paper, it should be the British government, because we, with our Balfour Declaration, we, with our inept attempts at a mandate in Palestine, and consequently the creation of the State of Israel, I think we owe it to the Palestinians to give them a state they could call their home, one that is sovereign, one that is viable, and one that is next to a secure Israel. Now, one thing our listeners should understand, and I want to emphasize this, this vote on the motion to recognize Palestine as a state is non-binding. In other words, it does not force the government to follow it. It is just of persuasive authority, as we call it legally. And what it does is it recommends a recognition of Palestine. I think we should recognize Palestine, because in so doing, we are actually strengthening the hand of the moderates within the Palestinian leadership and weakening the hands of the radicals. And that, to me, is what presumably the whole world, Israel included, would wish to see happen within Palestine: a moderate leadership that is willing to conclude peace with Israel. If that doesn't happen, it means two things. Either radicalism is on the rise, or Israel does not want peace.
Well, clearly that begs this question, which is, how does Israel feel about the UK Parliament voting overwhelmingly in this way? What does this do to relations with Israel?
Well, I don't think Israel is going to be extremely discomfited by this vote, although they're going to take notice of it. They would become far more discomfited if more of the EU member states start recognizing Palestine as well. And then there is a momentum. You see, I was part of a process called the Oslo process, which is now much maligned and much criticized. But at that time, there was a sense of political zest. There was momentum. There was hope. People thought, you know, at long last, things are going to move forward and we're going to have two states, one next to the other, the two flags fluttering. What has happened since then? Slowly that stalled. Then it's slowed even more. Then it stopped dead in its tracks. The whole peace process turned into inertia. And now it's not only a dead corpse, it's a dead corpse that is exhibiting signs of political rigor mortis. Where do we go with this is the question. And if we have any responsibility as the international community to encourage Palestinians and Israelis to sit together, knock their heads together, overcome their own ideological hardline attitudes, it is by showing them both that the outside world expects results. One way of doing that is by recalibrating a little bit the inequality between the two negotiating sides, Palestinians and Israelis, in such a way that once we redress that imbalance, we empower both sides to look each other in the eye, level, and say it is time for us to move forward. Because let me just tell you one little thing. Look at what's happening. Our listeners might not be aware of it. Look at the demonstrations, the riots, the clashes that are taking place, not only in the West Bank these days as we speak, but also in Jerusalem, between the Israeli police and army and the Palestinians, in the esplanade of the Haram al-Sharif, the Muslim sanctuary in the city of Jerusalem. These are not intifadas, but these are warning signs that if something doesn't give, if this hardline attitude of my way or the highway continues, then not only would Israel lose friends, but both sides would end up losing yet another opportunity to conclude a peace, and that in itself would have bad consequences in a region that itself is engulfed in so much violence.
Now, the Church of England in this country, and of course the Catholic Church, through Bishop Declan Lang, the Chair of International Affairs, our department here at the Bishops Conference, they have released a statement, did so on the day of the vote on that motion, actually endorsing the long overdue, in inverted commas.
Fully endorsing. The long overdue recognition of Palestine.
So obviously the feeling is that, you know, this is a positive thing for the region, and it's a right, I suppose.
It's a very positive thing for the region, as I've tried to say, James, but it is also one that is synchronous with international law. It is one that is synchronous with what we call universal legitimacy. But more to the point, it is also synchronous with the wishes, desires, and aspirations of the Christians of the Holy Land. Those Christians, incidentally, who are Orthodox, Catholic, and Anglican, they want peace, and they want peace whereby they get themselves a state they can call Palestine, whose passport they can carry, whose citizenship they would try to defend. That is what they want, and that is what Bishop Declan Lang and the Anglican counterpart signed in that statement. But let me make a little note on that statement. That is fine as a statement. It ends with a powerful, small sentence that people might not notice. It says that peace needs a bold vision. I couldn't agree more. Peace, or lack thereof at the moment, in order to recreate that peace, we do not need a vision, but one that is bold. However, I would add another little sentence next to bold vision, and I would say it needs prophetic courage. And at the moment, neither that courage nor the prophetic nature of that courage is very visible to me, either in the West or on the land of the Bible and the prophets themselves.
Something has me thinking that we're going to be revisiting this one several times over. But for now, Dr. Harry Hagopian, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, James.